Rekha Zuzana Shimon. Amina's arrival. The wind was piling dark clouds up over the shore as Amina tried to squeeze through all the people milling around her. She wanted to get a better look at the water spread out in front of them. They had arrived in St. Louis in the early hours, and since then several fishing boats had already set off. But she and her parents were still waiting their turn. During the weeks that they had been on the move, she had even noticed that time could stretch like the soft dough made from the yam tubers. Every day, there was something else they had to wait for. Amina dug her hands into the sand and watched the people hurrying over to the boats. She was sleepy and hungry, and the increasing racket was making her uneasy. "This is the last journey we're making. When we get there, we'll have beds to sleep in, and you'll be able to eat all the bean pie you want, as much as you can manage to stuff down you." "Look, that one's going to be our boat," said Amina's father Musa, pointing to one of the battered-looking little fishing boats coming into view in the distance. An older man waved to them. "We're off, Amina. See, the waiting's over," said her mother Hava, turning towards her. Amina took hold of Musa's hand. When they got to the boat, a figure in a hoodie barred their way. "The money," he said testily. Musa reached into his rucksack and took out a bundle of banknotes tied up in a cloth. He unwrapped the money and held it out to the man. "Okay, you can get in, but no bags. Throw away your documents, too, if you know what's good for you." "But we've got food in the bags and water. It's a long journey. The child needs to eat," Musa argued. "If you want to come with us, throw it all onto the beach, now," yelled the man in the hoodie. Amina was frightened. Hawa tried to reassure her while Musa stuffed some of the food into their pockets. "Take very good care of this," he said, giving his daughter a bottle full of water. Musa threw all three rucksacks onto the sand. The family sat down where they were told to. There must have been 70 or 80 people on the little fishing boat already. Only in the bow of the boat was there room for one or two more. "Dad, my lamb," cried Amina, pointing desperately at the bags thrown onto the sand. "Don't cry, it's fine, I'll go get it," whispered Musa and jumped into the water. The beach was strewn with abandoned belongings. After a couple of seconds searching, Musa found Amina's bag. He pulled the little wooden lamb out of it and ran back to the boat. Hawa leaned over to help him back in, but she didn't have enough strength to hold on to him as he clambered up the side of the boat. One of the men sitting in the boat grabbed his arm and pulled him in. "You've got to put this on now," said Hawa, slipping a life jacket over Amina's head. The heavy boat moved sluggishly through the water, and the roar of the engine soon drowned out the voices of the passengers. Amina held tightly onto the little wooden lamb and watched the shore get further and further away. There were still lots of people there waiting for the boat. "Sing me something, Dad," she said. Musa hugged Amina close and struck up a tune. "Tue tue barima tue tue. Abofra ba amawada wa tue tue barima tue tue." The song Tue Tue rang out in the Twi language, and the people in the boat reached for each other's hands. Amina forgot her fear and her rumbling stomach. The voices of those around her merged into one and rocked her to sleep. She had no idea how long she had slept, but when she woke up, the moon was already high in the sky, lighting up the foamy ocean. Her parents were asleep, but as she shifted a little to take a bean ball out of her pocket, both of them woke up. That night passed slowly, as did the days that followed. It was now 7 days since they had set out from St. Louis, Senegal. They had little water still, and almost nothing left to eat. On the boat, you couldn't move. The days were scorching, and the nights so cold they shivered. Most often, Amina slept through the day, leaning against her parents. Hawa was suffering from sunburn, and her feet were covered in infected blisters. Musa quenched his thirst with seawater, leaving the little drinking water they still had for Amina and Hawa. His stomach was hurting more and more, and he had had a high fever for days. The family was so weak, they were no longer bothered by the growing stink in the boat, nor the mix of urine and feces washing around their ankles. After 1,500 kilometers, on their 10th night on the boat, they arrived on the shore of El Hierro Island, under the cover of darkness. Red Cross volunteers lifted Hawa and Amina out of the boat. Both of them were taken to hospital. Musa was no longer among the passengers. From the day they arrived, Amina stopped speaking. She wouldn't let her mother hug her or touch her. She often stood by the window of the little house where they had been given shelter, watching the ocean and clutching her little carved lamb. Many weeks went by like this. The beginning of the school year came around, but Amina didn't want to be with other children. The teacher came over to fetch her, and Hawa offered to stay with her the whole day, but it was no use. They couldn't persuade her to go. One morning at the end of September, there was a soft knocking on the door. Amina's teacher was standing outside with 16 10-year-olds. They marched into the living room, sat down in a circle on the rug, took each other's hands, and began to sing. Tue tue barima tue tue. Abofra ba amawada wa tue tue barima tue tue. Amina buried her face in her mother's chest and began to sob. It was the first time she had cried and the first time she had let herself be hugged since they had arrived on the island.